one of the things that I'm, constantly telling my students, because they're like, oh, how do I do XYZ, or, what do I need to set for this, or whatever. And I'm like, do a test, because there's so many factors, it's like, I don't know, let's see, like, you need a shorter stitch, maybe you need a longer stitch, maybe, and like, that's literally how the industry, especially with intimates, like, you're gonna have to redo it a million times before it's perfect. And if you don't, then the product isn't good, and then you make thousands of them and they're bad. It's revolutionary. And I mean, fashion design in particular, I mean, we've always been 3D designers. My goal, excuse me, in designing is always like, create something that someone's gonna love and it's gonna wanna wear and wanna use for a very, very long time.
Hello, welcome to Underdressed, the podcast where we talk about the clothes under our clothes and exactly how they get made. My name is Trudy Gardner. I'm the freelance designer behind Wayfinder Lingerie. In this show, I'll be exploring the art, practice, and technical execution of intimate apparel. We'll be taking a behind-the-scenes look at this industry and trying to understand exactly how designers balance creativity with functionality, specifically as it pertains to our hardworking yet delicate base layers. Thanks for listening. I'll see you in the show. Hello, listeners. Welcome back. And if you're new here, welcome. Today on the podcast, I have Larissa King. She is an intimate apparel designer with over 20 years of experience in the industry. She's worked for Hanky Panky. She has her own brand called Entreshaw Dance, which makes dancewear clothing. She's now an instructor working at FIT. Larissa and I connected because she took my very first workshop that I taught with the Intimate Apparel Technical Collective for Clo3D, just the very basic workshop, the very first one that I taught. And I think she's taken every other workshop that I've launched since. So it was really interesting to sit down and talk to her about her experience in the industry, her experience learning the program. We also ended up together on the FIT Clo3D course, which is an online course. She's also generously shared with us her bibliography that she has made for her students for the course. So if you're looking for a list of resources from an FIT instructor, that will be linked in the show notes. Also, I wanted to let you know about a few guests that I have coming up on the podcast. The next one, I've already recorded the interview for. It's with Harrison from Tinhai Lace, which is a lace manufacturer in China. And that's a really interesting episode. I actually brought Sophia Luzon from episode 1 to co-host with me because I knew she would bring some very insightful questions, and she did not disappoint. And then next up, I will be doing a recording with Lori Van Johnson. And if you are in the intimate apparel industry in some capacity, you'll know who Lori Van Johnson is. She has published a few books. She does freelancing for intimate apparel, and she also does some mentoring with freelancers as well. So whatever questions that you might have for her, I will be recording that episode next week, Friday. That is going to be the May 12th. So if you catch this episode before then and you have a question that you want to send to Lori, you can send me an email, trudygardnerproductions@gmail.com, or you can DM me through Instagram, Wayfinder Lingerie, or Underdressed Podcast. That's it. I'm going to let you go enjoy the show, and I'll catch you next time. Thanks for being here, and thanks for listening. Okay. Hello, Larissa, and welcome. I'm super excited to connect with you. I have been trying to just like get a one-on-one conversation with you for a while, but life gets in the way. And so finally the first time that we really get to sit down and connect. I'm interested in your story because I know that you've been in the fashion industry specifically. Is it like activewear? I'm going to let you talk about it because who you are, I'm interested in. So I want to let you talk. So can you tell us about what you do in the industry?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on here. And again, I'm thrilled to talk to you because I find your story super fascinating as well. I have worked in intimates specifically since professionally since ni 19 2003. I went to FIT for fashion design, and I did the intimate apparel BFA specialization there. While I was a student, I got hired by Hanky Panky to design for them. And I designed for them for about 18 and a half years. I left in 2022 early, and I had very fascinating, career there. At least for me, I found it fascinating. I learned so much. It's a domestic manufacturer, so, and we had a very kind of like old school design room where we had a pattern maker that we could work directly with, and sample makers and everything in-house. And it was really such a great education on like every step of how stuff gets made, because you could see it right there, right in New York City. So I really, value that experience and how much I learned there, and the opportunities that it gave me. In 2016, which is a little earlier, I sort of started doing like pretty dancewear just on my own on Etsy and stuff, and that is called Entrechat Dance. And I sort of like combined my love of gorgeous laces and working with these pretty fabrics, and then my love of ballet and dance with that. And it's
What was it
primarily
called? Entrechat Dance?
Entrechat, like it's a dance step, and it's
Entre.
Entrechat,
Okay. And
which
that's a
means like
studio that was
interlaced.
creating. Okay. And they're a studio that was creating dancewear. Or was that your own
That's
brand?
me. That's my own.
It's your
I
own
started
personal
at
brand.
Etsy. It's
Okay,
me. It's
cool.
me. It's
Okay, I definitely want to talk
a
about
one
that some
woman
more.
brand.
So that's yeah, I doubt because you must have a background in dance then.
Like not, not like hardcore pre-professional serious, but I danced my whole childhood, and I love dancing, as an adult enthusiast.
I love non-professional, professional like the just enjoying professional activities as a non-professional. 'Cause like you love it. You do it 'cause you love it and you can be really good at it. Like when I was flying, there was like, so we're trained professionally. And then there were some enthusiasts that would do like flight sim that had like the same level of knowledge that I did. They just like playing on the computer, right? Like just like they you do like whole flights across the Atlantic like on the computer. So it's you
That's
can be
wild.
like, yeah, as a hobbyist, you can be super intense, is what I'm trying to say. So I want to come back around to your dance story, but I feel like I cut you off. You're talking about like your overall place in the industry. So you were working for Hanky Panky, you had your own thing on the side.
And then in again last year, I stopped working at Hanky Panky, and I started doing focusing a bit on my dancewear, and also freelancing for a product development consultancy called The Squad, based in Portland. And they do a lot of really interesting work in like medical devices and activewear and intimates. They work with a lot of startups and a lot of medical clients, and do just interesting things with pretty intense product testing, and just like very body scanning and all this data. Like it's
Oh
very
yeah, I can't
different.
wait get I can't wait to
It's
talk about
very different
that.
from what I was doing at Hanky Panky, but there's
Yeah.
still that same focus that intimate designers, we all have this obsession with, fit and getting it right and doing it correctly. So it's that sort of detail-oriented thing that intimates people all get really worked up about. When I started, doing projects for them, it was mainly, 2D and, AI and Photoshop and trend reports
Like
and that
2D
kind
and
of
Clo
stuff.
or 2D and AI then?
2D and like just 2D fashion design,
Like
which is
hand
still
drafting?
3D. No, like Adobe Illustrator
Okay.
flats, Photoshop work, doing, surface design prints, you know, all the more traditional digital design. And their founder, Stephanie, was sort of like, you should learn CLO. And so I did, because I was like, hey, I like money. And I have just, it's so fascinating. And I just really, have enjoyed all the work that I'm doing it and how quickly you can, visualize things and stuff like that. Another thing is in fall of 23, I started teaching at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology. So I started teaching as an adjunct their stretch. It's called Stretch Fundamentals, but it's like introduction to stretch garments, which I've really enjoyed. And it's a it's a required class for upper division, like fifth semester students. So I really liked that. And then this past semester in the spring, I got a temporary full-time position to teach the intimate apparel classes,
Oh,
which
cool.
I'm loving.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just for this one semester, but I'm really enjoying that. So I'm teaching the sixth semester intro to intimate apparel design, and it's draping, it's pattern making, it's sewing, it's everything for that, which is doing shapewear and sleepwear and that kind of stuff. And then
Cool, I want to
the
take your
other
class. I wish I was in New York.
you gotta get through 2 years of fashion design school before
That's right. There's also, I also need 2 years of fashion school.
it's they're very small classes. It's a very small specialization
Cool.
at the school because they choose like a few different directions, for their bachelor's degrees, like how they want to do it. And then the other class I'm teaching is the senior thesis class, which is where they do their thesis collections, which are potentially included in the FIT Future of Fashion show. And that's been, really rewarding, kind of helping these, fully baked designer students realize their thesis collections
Yeah,
that
I can imagine that must be
they
really
it's
rewarding because those students like that's their the program's very intense, right? Like this is the end of an intense year of an intense like 4 years of study. Is that sound accurate? Yeah.
FIT is it's a lot
Yeah. I mean, there's only a
it's
handful of fashion schools around the world that are really well renowned and that actually prepare students to be I mean, I haven't gone like I did a online diploma in fashion design. That's like the extent of my knowledge, which definitely didn't prepare me to get any kind of work. But FIT is well known for being one of the top schools in fashion design. And so yeah, I don't know what the end of that sentence was gonna be, but I just wanted to like clarify
It
that. Yeah.
is. Yeah, I mean and it's an intense program. It's very selective to get in. And the students have to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's as fashion design in general is such a multidisciplinary discipline, because you need to make presentation boards, you need to be able to, talk and pitch your ideas, and you need to understand how patterns work. You need to understand how sewing works. You need to understand, how to draw pretty pictures. And now you have to know how to
Yeah.
do, 3D
Yeah.
design.
Yeah, never
like
mind the
there's
just like
so
basic
much you.
creativity.
And like you need to, understand how to do, trend reporting and research. And there's just so much to it,
Yeah.
it's. It's one of those things that like you can just keep, I'm always learning more, and there's always
Yeah.
so much more to learn,
Yeah. Which brings us
like
back
no
around to
one is
Chloe.
ever, a master of it, because there's just it's I mean that's
Yeah.
what's so engaging about it.
Yes,
There's just
this is
this
what I've been
dynamic
learning like over
growing.
the past like I only started like sewing, let's say, probably about 6 years ago. And I thought I thought that within a year I'd be able to just like sew anything that I wanted and like be able to like design and make all of my own clothes. Now, like 6 years later, like I'm still learning that like there's so much that I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been sewing since I was like a literal toddler, and
and you're still learning.
Still learning. And every, you know, and one of the great things about teaching is it's making me really understand, you know, more things. I'm learning. I feel like I'm learning more than the students are.
When you teach, just, you really understand those basic problems that you haven't even thought about, like since you started learning.
And especially, you know, when people sort of, well, why do you do this? And then you're like, oh, well, now
why do I do that?
Why do I do this? You know, if you think about it, you know, more deeply, or like, this is why we do this. And, you know, one of the things that I'm, you know, constantly telling my students, because they're like, oh, how do I do X, Y, Z? Or, you know, what do I need to set for this, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, do a test, you know, because there's so many factors, you know, it's like, I don't know, let's see, you know, like, you need a shorter stitch, maybe you need a longer stitch, maybe, you know, and like, that's literally how the industry works. You know, you work this stuff out, and it's just important to, you know, I keep telling them, like, just be zen about it. And especially with intimates, like, you're gonna have to redo it a million times before it's perfect. And if you don't, then the product isn't good, and then you make thousands of them and they're bad. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And that's really,
it's not good for anyone.
It's much more expensive than, you know, like getting it right at the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, doing adequate testing and, you know, fitting and everything like that.
Oh my God. There's no way that we're going to get through everything in this 1 hour. So I'm going to have to, you're going to have to come on again. There's going to have to be a part two with Larissa King. let's go back to Hanky Panky. So, you got a job straight with them out of school, and then, and then you spent 18 years with them. So you must have liked
there. I mean, I love the product. I love the focus on fit and quality, and that, you know, we were really fastidious about that. I love.
Can we dive into that? So, they were focused on fit and quality. Were you a technical designer when you were there, pattern maker?
No, I was a creative designer.
Creative designer. Okay. But, and can you define that for us?
Small. I did trend. I did color. I did silhouette. I really enjoyed doing silhouette, but I worked all that out with, you know, with our sample room manager, with our tech designer, you know, I was very involved in all parts because I thought it was really interesting. And I also, I think as a designer, you need to give yourself, you need to understand all these things because they so affect everything else.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly. Like, you can't just draw a garment and then be like, have no way of getting into it. You got to know how the garment functions.
Yeah, you need to know how it functions. You need to know how it fits. You need to understand that, like, okay, if we sew this with this stitch, it's going to affect the fit this way. If we use this trim, it's going to affect that way.
Yeah, you got to think of all the things. Like, how are we going to finish that neckline? Mm-hmm. Like, is that going to be, mm-hmm. like turned out and finished with a clean finish, or like, you like, yeah, it takes you a while to like really think about all of those, the detail that matter in the end. Yeah.
And especially with intimates, I mean, like, the silhouettes, they do change, but they don't change as dramatically as like, say, sportswear. So it's all about the details, and that's like what makes the design. It's not, you know, like, I would have so much less control over the finished product if I just said, oh, I just sew it however, you know, figure it out, you know. And I like having control over, you know, the stuff that I design. I think it's, you know, really helpful. And I really enjoyed, you know, working with the pattern makers and, you know, because we would do a lot of like internal fit testing and wear testing with, you know, because it was a company full of women, and we would, you know, try things on a lot of different people to make sure that they worked for all ages and sizes and everything else.
So how does, can you define the process? So you come up with your trend report, and then you narrow down the designs for the season, and then you hand that over to your technical designer?
No, so it was a very small company. So we would we had merchants who would come up with a line plan and like this is what we need to fill, like these are the slots we need to fill for the collection. We had a lot of ongoing like replenishment styles, which is
Like
a
proven,
very
you know
very
they work. Yeah.
and that's what drives most of the intimate apparel industry is the major stores have these styles that they're just going to keep buying and you assort new colors, you do new things. But for fashion, we would get a certain number of slots for fashion styles and we would know like okay, we want to do three pretty groups with galloon laces or whatever. And I mean, we would sample fabrics and laces and embroideries and whatever, and either sketch or drape it, either way, to work out, interesting fashion styles for that. And you'd have research, you'd have tears and everything else. And I would, work with the pattern maker on making prototypes, because that's primarily how we worked. And we would present, options at design meetings of the prototype styles, and then they would choose, for fashion, like this is what we want to do, the actual,
Okay,
samples.
so
And
you
then
would go from like idea straight to pattern maker, straight to prototype. Okay. Okay. So there
It's
was nobody,
unusual. It's
so you weren't making like a tech pack in the middle of that and sending that out. What,
no,
you were
because we
making
were just
samples at your
we
sample
were
room,
making
right?
samples in
Yeah.
our sample room.
Yeah.
We were
Which you once
domestic.
mentioned to me that that's like unique. Like that's not something that really exists anymore. Is that, was it you I was talking to about that?
Yeah, I mean it's much less widespread. Smaller companies do it that way, more like designer sportswear companies in New York do it that way. It's not necessarily how really big companies that
Right.
do really big volume do it.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a really lovely way to work.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Very intuitive and fun, and I was
That's
demonstrating to my
super
students.
fun. Yeah.
It
To
is,
like
it is.
concept to pattern to
Yeah,
like
to like have a
garment.
thing,
Yeah.
like okay, this is good. Do we
Yeah.
like it? Do we not?
Yeah.
We I was gonna say I was, showing my students yesterday like how to drape lace galloons into making, little cami tops or whatever, and I was kind of, telling them like this is like one of my favorite ways of designing is you have this beautiful material, and because especially laces are so, there's so many factors in that too that just sketching something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work as a garment, and sending it off and then finding out, I don't know, 3 weeks later that it doesn't actually work, or having them fudge it in a weird way wouldn't be great. So you just literally, take the fabric and pin it on the form and see like, oh, does this, where do I want this rose to be? How do I want to drape, this cup? How does this work? Do I need to like change this seam over here so that it accommodates the lace? Because these fabrics are so beautiful and they're so expensive and precious and wonderful. And you want to, use them in a way that doesn't
Ruin them.
ruin them or waste
Yeah.
them
Yeah.
or,
Yeah.
And you can have a lot of fun, and you can really, create more interesting designs if you just let the fabric tell you what it wants to be. So it's creative and interesting, and I really enjoy that process of just, dress form or, body form and materials, and just, putting them up there and seeing where the stuff needs to be. It reminds me of like when I was a little girl and I would, take my Barbie doll and put like ribbons and trims and like wrap her up and like, what if I twist this here, it's a really intuitive way of designing, and it's very rewarding.
Yes, which brings us around to Chloe, right? So, you and I met I forget where. I don't know if it was Instagram or through the collective. But I was always like, when I saw your background and your history, I was like super excited to see that you were taking my cloak course, which I don't know, that was that pretty new to you when you first started?
Yeah, totally
when,
new
when you
to
took
me.
my course. Yeah.
Yeah, I had, you know, I had downloaded the program. I had an older computer that just like could not handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
and so I ordered a new computer, and then it, you know, microchip shortage, it took like 3 months to come.
Yeah.
And then I took your intro class, which like answered so many of the questions that I had.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I've got this now. Like, what am I doing? Everything's falling down. It was really, really helpful, you know, to start with that. And then,
yeah,
you know, we took
and then we ended up on the class with FIT. So FIT does these online courses that I was able to take. And so we connected again there. We saw each other in that class. And now, like, I would like, if you're in, if listeners out there are listening, are interested in Chloe, definitely go check out Larissa's Instagram page. I'll link it below, because you have come so far. Like, I know how much work it takes to get there. And it's pretty impressive to see what you've been doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, the classes helped, and I'm taking the advanced one at FIT now.
That okay, so cool. How
and
is
also
that going?
Doing work
the workshop with us. Yeah, you signed up for that
and
one
doing
too.
Doing the workshop with you, and then also doing like freelance work with the squad on there.
So I love it.
Really,
this is another reason why I want to connect with you. Like, I'm the same way. Like, no matter how much you know that there's always more. Like, the more you work in CLO, the more that you realize, like, connecting with other people and seeing the way that it's other people are doing it, even if they know more than you, or if they're less experienced with you. If they're less experienced than you, there's like so many different ways of doing things in CLO. And you only discover them by like working in the program and playing with it and trying to figure it out. And everybody's doing that. Everybody's playing and figuring out their own ways of doing things. And if we can share those ways of doing things, it makes us all better.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I actually had a student email me last night. She was working on a project for her CLO class, and she's like, you know, I know you can do intimate apparel in this. Can you? I'm trying to do this like one thing to make my bustier from my project in it, you know? And so, you know, it felt really good that I could actually like give her good guidance on that. And she was so happy with it because, you know, again, this has been less than a year that, you know, I don't remember when your first workshop was, but it was like last summer.
Yeah, I think it was last summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that it's like 8 months I've gone from being like, this program is impossible to use.
Yes, I felt the same way. When I first started,
other people advice on what to do, I was like, oh my God.
It's pretty cool. It's and the thing is, there's not a whole lot, specifically for intimate apparel, there's not a whole lot of people to reach out to ask questions about. Like, there's not a lot of people with answers. Like, I've scoured the internet. Like, there's like one YouTube tutorial on making like a set that Chloe has published. Like, I think it was a bra and panty, an underwire bra and panty. And I'm like, who's the instructor? Yeah, I know. It's one. It's only like, I don't know. It's not that long. She skips a bunch of very important information. And then, but it's like the only thing. So I watched that video like in like half speed, like so many times. And I reached out to them in CLO, and I'm like, can you tell me who this instructor is? Like, cause there's just nobody doing it in intimate apparel. Yeah. So, I just love connecting with each other and through the collective and just figuring it out. Cause it's hard. It is very hard. Like, it's hard, and there's not a lot of people to like reference to like get the answers from. So, I mean, it's just slow. It's slow to be picked up by the intimate apparel industry. It's hard to do when you do pick it up, like as a designer. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with it then? So we know that it was hard when you started. You had to get a new computer.
I had to get a new computer.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking I want another new computer, because I've learned that Macs don't render as efficiently or as
Did
well.
You get a laptop?
Yeah, I mean, right now I have a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, which is okay for the like design part of it.
Oh, the 2D part,
the 2D side works good. The 3D window works okay, but the rendering is super slow because there's no GPU. So
yeah. And I think their graphics cards don't play together, so it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal. Which again, I didn't know. Because I was
exactly.
I'm a designer and I always use Macs because they work better.
Yeah, because they're the best. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The best for designing, you know, but have learned now. So I might, you know.
Yeah. And it depends on what your goals are too. Like if you want to get into rendering, like especially if you want to get into like playing with your lighting settings and playing with like really high quality, high realistic renders, then you need a GPU. But that's not everybody's goal. Like you don't always need that, like to achieve what you're trying to achieve as a designer. Like I think our goal as designers is to be able to conceive a product like we do in Illustrator. Like maybe not your initial concept, but maybe you come up with a concept. And then when you get to the point where you'd be sketching out that concept, you can also be like, you can have your like block pattern. You can put your idea onto that block pattern and see it in 3D on a real body right away, as opposed to like sketching it up as a 2D sketch where you think it's going to work, but you can't see it. Like the next step in real life, the next step is to make a pattern, use fabric, use your time, sew it together and make a sample. So like,
see if you even like it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can see if you like it. So it's crazy efficient to be able to do it in Clo. I think it saves a lot of time and it saves a lot of steps, but you have to get over the hurdle of like learning it.
And the educational materials can be a little overwhelming. And, you know, there were things like when I got it, I'm like, where is just a chart of what all these icons mean? Like, that was like my main thing. I was like, I see a bunch of symbols here and I just
the user interface, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I just had a chart, you know, like,
I know. And I think it has to do with like, oh yeah.
So many options.
I think it just has to do with like this generational, like, ability to use computers. Like we didn't grow up, I think, I'm assuming you're around my age. Well, I didn't grow up, so I'll be 43 this year, and I did not grow up using computers. I did not grow up, like, there's no iPads that went out when I was a kid. There was no like I, when I was in high school, that's when I started using computers. Like, but now, like, it's so intuitive to click on an icon and know what's going to happen, like, or to go to a certain section of your program and know, like, everything's icons now. And you're like, why would I know what that stupid symbol means? Like the user interface. I just feel like for younger people, it's a lot more intuitive who've been around computers and been thinking about like the way that they function for their whole entire lives, as opposed to like me that's like learned this stuff as an adult. I don't know. What do you think? I could be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of a somewhat early adopter of like the internet and computer. I mean, I'm about the same age as you. But I know we got our first PC and maybe
you were more geeky. You were into geeky. The computers.
Yeah, I'm definitely more geeky. My brother like works in IT. Like,
oh, yeah. You know?
So I'm like, yeah, but like we had to use DOS and like had to like type things in. And,
I know, you know, we had to like, that's like the beginning. You had like to open your program. But it was like you had to type in a code to even
DOS.
Like open the program.
DOS prompt. And so I'm like, yes. And then CD back. And then like when I was in college, I took, you know, I took like HTML design, like one class, but like we had to like literally type out the HTML. And I started using Photoshop and Illustrator and stuff in high school because we had a copy of that. So
you feel like you should have had a good solid like foundation for stepping into Clo. Okay. So maybe it's not just me, and it's maybe not that I'm old. Maybe it's just that it's like it's hard.
It's hard. There's a lot of menus. There's like two toolbars there on either side.
The user interface threw me off at first. It took me a while to understand.
And there's still things like the Dart tool that I'm like, okay, wait, Yeah. What am I doing here?
Yeah. The dart tool. Often I just like make one instead of trying to fuck around with the dart tool. Just like,
like, no, this is too complicated.
Yeah. I try to teach myself to use it, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. It depends. Like sometimes you're just like, I know that if I just make a triangle here, it's going to work. So I'm just going
to
do that.
Yeah. And I tend to do more, you know, because again, my background is in fashion design and, you know, I'm a pretty decent pattern maker. I tend to just do my pattern manipulation like I would do on paper, which, you know, may not always be the most efficient way, but at least I know, like, if I move this line here and do this here and, you know, instead for dart manipulation, I'll very often just slash it and then close.
Yeah. Except for that it's still insanely more efficient than doing it on paper. Like,
And
even just like, even compared to Illustrator, because it's made for pattern drafting. So like, it's just a lot more, it just makes a lot more sense the way that it happens. Mm-hmm. I just recorded a podcast this week, actually, with Isabel from Ide Studio. Have you come across her yet at all?
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. So she said the same thing. She's like, her background isn't as a like traditional designer. And she said the same thing. Like, I do a lot of, she does a lot of her drafting in Clo the same way, exactly the same way that she would do it. Like, she'll actually like cut the pattern piece, spread them apart, and then make a new one. I think she said she even like traces out like a new line to like make the new one. But I think you also like, because that's the way your mind already works. I think over time though, like, you can kind of skip that step. Like, you can kind of visualize, okay, that's what would happen with the paper, and I'm just going to go ahead and like do a spread here.
I definitely use the fullness tool so much.
That's for everything. Such a fun tool. Yeah, exactly. Tool.
And I actually do use the program, you know, because I teach manual drafting of certain garments.
Is it on paper? You teach on paper?
On paper, you know, we sit there and I demo it on paper, but I make, you know, handouts that I do make in Illustrator.
Oh, you make handouts. I was gonna ask if there's
for like instructions on like, here's how you draft this, here's how you do this, here,
do you have any recommended books? Is there a book for your course?
There, I kind of pull from a lot of different books and then change them to how
that's the common
for my project. You know, but I, when I make my handouts to test them, because I don't necessarily want to be like drafting a pattern 15 times, I absolutely do the full draft in Clo and then try it on my avatar and like, okay, does this work, does this not work, and if it doesn't work, then I, you know, I fix it, or like, what did I skip, you know, like what step did I not put in this handout that, you know, somebody would get confused by. But there's a few. They're not perfect. None of them are perfect. There's Pattern Making with Stretch Fabrics is a pretty decent one. Keith Richardson has another one that's Pattern Making, Design and Pattern Making with Stretch Fabrics, I think it's called. I can send you a list. Actually, I have
That'd be cool.
Extensive.
Like a reading list.
It's like, here's the course bibliography. I have no idea if any of my students have ever read,
it's nice to have for reference,
important
though,
to credit your sources.
Sure.
And there's a new one that I just got. It's like Lingerie Design, a Complete Course. Some of the pattern draft instructions in there are missing crucial information, or weirdly labeled. It seems like a very common thing in pattern making.
But there's none that
like,
are done
like nobody's
really, really
doing
well.
It perfectly, and you know, I'm sure my handouts are also missing things.
I think it's just so hard to catch everything, and then it's so hard to revise it. So you're like, that's staying in there.
And I personally have a hard time. There's a convention in pattern making where it's like, mark this as A, mark this as B, mark this as C, and I have a very hard time with that.
Oh my god, I talked to that with
I give them names.
Yeah, I talked to that. I talked about that with Isabel as well. Because in Clo, like, when you're drawing those out, you can see, like, you're so, first of all, you have the silhouette. So when you're drawing your lines, you can see exactly where that line is going to land on the body. Like, we're drawing, like, I don't know, the center front of the panty right now. And you can see that you're drawing the center front of the panty, and this is where the crotch is going to end. And this is where, this is the leg line. And so you can see that when we add a curve to that, this is exactly where it's going. And this is why we add a little bit of width right here, because it's going to go around the body. And then you can also be seeing that, like, made up in the 3D window as well, like exactly where that pattern piece is going on the body. So I mean, like, I feel like I've just been talking about how much I love Clo constantly, but, like,
no, it's revolutionary. And I mean, fashion design in particular, I mean, we've always been 3D designers,
just working with 2D tools. Good point. You know, that's excellent.
Bodies are three-dimensional things. Yeah. And, you know, we're sometimes visualizing it, you know, as a flat sketch or whatever, but it's
always the goal.
Meant to be a three-dimensional item. Yeah. And, you know, patterns are patterns, and that's, you know, you've
because that's where you
you've
start.
Always had to
you
use
have
it.
To
yeah,
start.
You start with these flat things, and you have to make them fit on a three-dimensional body.
Exactly.
And that's, like, how our brains are programmed.
Exactly. When we make fabric, it's flat. That. So you have to figure out how to turn this flat one-dimensional thing into a three-dimensional thing, which we do with two-dimensional work, right? So it's really cool.
So it is, you know, it's a natural progression.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. It's crazy that I never really thought about that in words before. Like, we have always been 3D designers. I love that. I'm gonna, like, that's gonna be the title of the podcast. We've always been 3D designers. Okay, let's talk about where you see the limitations of Clo right now.
Fit. You can get some fit, and I mean, there's it's great for visualization, it's great for merchandising, it's, you know, even a really good selling tool. I think there's so many variables into making garments that fit well, and intimate garments in particular. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, sensitive areas, and you know, these garments are being worn directly on the body, they interact with the body, they mold the body, and stuff that, you know, like, oh, you used a narrow zigzag instead of a three-step zigzag, or you used a three-thread cover stitch with a looper, or a two-thread cover stitch with no looper, like, that affects the fit. You know, like, even stuff like stitch types, the types of trims, the seams, so many things affect how a garment feels and how it fits, that it's extremely challenging to account for all those things and then have it on, you know, a hard-bodied avatar that can't talk to you. Like, Clo will very often tell you something like is impossibly tight, that could never fit a human, that, you know, you cut out the pattern and you make it in the same fabric that was the virtual fabric and it's too big. It's like, it doesn't feel right. You know, it's very good for visualization, it's very good for merchandising and that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, that dialogue with your fit model, you know, who knows how to talk about it and knows what something should feel like, like, we're not there yet. And I don't necessarily know that we want to be 100% there. Like, I don't think it makes sense to go straight from a model, a 3D model, not a human model, a 3D model to production and something that you're selling without having that really important, you know, human step, because we're making things for people. Also, an important part of the sampling process is, you know, seeing, is this producible? Can, you know, because humans still sew our clothes. And you can do a lot of really tricked out, funky seam lines and things that no human sewing machine operator would ever, you know, be able to handle. And so when you're sampling and, you know, doing, you know, like maybe a test run for, you know, fit sampling or market samples or whatever, you know, you're working out all those production kinks. You're seeing like, okay, this pattern needs to be slightly different because the sewing machine operator can't tell the top from the bottom because it looks like almost the same, but it's not quite the same, you know. So you learn all that in that process of making it in a small run, and all those lessons that you learn in that short run save you money in the long term and save the planet from not having a whole bunch of stuff made that doesn't fit people or is made wrong and needs to be, you know, thrown out or damaged out or, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, the stuff, the materials we use exist for a very long time.
Yeah,
And it's
especially in
not
intimates, because we just
just
can't get away.
rubbers.
It's hard to get away from the
Rubbers and synthetics and
non-biodegradable stuff.
So it's, you know, my goal, excuse me, in designing is always, you know, like create something that someone's gonna love and is gonna want to wear and gonna want to use for a very, very long time.
In terms of sustainability, that's I also believe that that's like the number one factor that you have to consider. Is it a product that people that is going to have use? The whole reason why you spend any time or energy into, like, the whole reason why you put any of that into a product is so that it can have a place in the world where it's making the world better because somebody's wearing it and somebody's getting use out of it. Otherwise, like, it's like a waste of money, a waste of time. It's bad for the environment, and it's just like a
Like,
negative.
why?
You're making the world
Why
worse. Like,
make
if you
this?
make a bad
Yeah,
product, you're making
exactly.
the
Exactly. You know,
world
like, I don't want some, and you're also like hurting yourself in the long run because somebody, you know, they'll buy something once and then they try it and they're like, oh, well, this didn't work. This was terrible. Like, it looked cute, but I hate wearing it because, you know, I don't know, when I'm sitting on the subway, the snaps in the crotch are in the wrong place, you know, whatever. You know, so you want to make sure that you are building a relationship with this customer and saying, yes, I am making things, I'm thinking about you and your life and how you're gonna, you know, use this and what, you know, I want. I don't ever want to betray their trust, you know. That's
Respect your customer. I like that. I wanted to say a couple things about Chloe. One, yes, it can lie to you. You can make a bad pattern and you can try it on your model and it can lie to you. So I think that's why it's still very, very important to understand the technicalities of pattern design, like what a good pattern is supposed to look like and the way it's supposed to function. And with that foundation, and I feel like I don't feel like I know I'm still building it. Now when you take that and you apply it to Chloe, you can understand that, like, you can understand where Chloe is lying to you.
And there's definitely things I do like for my clo renders that I'm like, well, when I make this for a person, like, you know, I have to make the crotch panels narrower
I
clo
know. You
just
got to get new
because
avatars.
otherwise it like creeps down the leg or the, you know, or
No.
you have to like freeze it and like just let it collide with her
And
thighs, you know,
again,
there's
and
a
then
lot of things.
those are different. The crotch, Chloe, please fix your
Yeah, the
crotches.
fix the crotches. It's so bad. It's so bad. And
What was I gonna say?
but like
They oh yeah, so
dress
no,
forms have the same problem. They
they're different
all like every,
purposes.
you know, yeah.
Oh, dress forms in real
Yeah,
life
like
have
the
the same
dress form.
problem?
Yeah, like the full body dress because they're made for sportswear. The basic ones, you know. So like the legs just sort of come together in this little like
You're
point,
like,
you know,
that's not the way
which
it's
is not
shaped.
how people, you know,
Oh
people
yeah, so I was
look.
gonna
They're
say,
like
like, a render is for different purposes, right? Like, there's the pattern drafting part of it where you're looking at your pattern drafting and you have to know, like, what you're doing to create a good pattern that's going to be usable in real life. And then if you're creating a render to show a visualization of what you want this garment to look like, conceptually, like, this is the garment that we're trying to achieve, then it's okay to cheat because you're not making a pattern that needs to be used in real life. So as long as you're considering your end goal in what you're making. And I use it for both. Like, I definitely think there's a place for both, but I prefer the technical side of it because I like making things that are usable in real life. But yeah. We're getting so you. I know you have to go. So we're gonna take five more minutes. And let me see what else I can squeeze out in this conversation. Body scanning, I wrote down earlier. So you guys in with Hanky Panky work with body scanning?
No, not Hanky Panky.
Sorry.
This is the squad.
The squad.
The squad. I personally don't do it, but they have a whole lot of data, like for like thousands of people, you know, and can do very interesting work for your brand if you choose to hire them.
Do they make avatars?
They do. They make avatars. They do body scanning.
I'm gonna have to check them out because I'm always
definitely check them out. They do very very cool work. And again, they have use all this really interesting customer data to make really innovative products for their clients. And they have I'm gonna mess this up. They've done like FDA approved devices and have like all they're very so it's not just activewear,
not just clothing, not just spray.
Yeah, it's not just clothing. It would be like wearable technology or
I'm super excited to check them out.
Definitely check out I will also send you their website. I think it's thesquadpdx.com. But check that.
And what do you do for them? So what's your, you work for them in a freelance capacity?
In a freelance capacity. So I've been doing a lot of work with some clothes fitting and stuff for one of their clients. I've done print designs for other clients, like surface design. I've done some trend reporting for like activewear market for some other things. They have a lot of clients, so I just sort of, they have something available.
So with Chloe, are you taking like a body scan? Like, are you working with the body scans, or are they developing average body scans based on all of the information that they've collected?
I'm not sure what I can talk about on this.
Oh, okay. No worries at all. We'll leave ourselves
NDA with a lot of stuff. So
okay, cool. No, we'll leave ourselves to do our own research. I'll check them out.
Check out their website. They do very cool stuff.
Awesome.
I'm not sure what I'm allowed to.
Absolutely. No, no worries at all. Okay. I will not bug you about them anymore. No, I'm glad. Like, it's even nice to know they exist and we can go check them out and see what they're doing. I'm sure that they have a PR person that's like, they're managing talking about like what they can talk about. So normally I wrap up my podcast by asking designers, what's your favorite part and worst part of your job? And now your job is multifaceted. So maybe you can pick one, like maybe it's teaching or maybe it's the designing.
My favorite part of teaching, which is also my favorite part of designing, is the figuring out the how. Like we have an idea, this is what we want to do. And it's like, how can we get that to happen IRL? And just kind of working that out. That's what sort of makes me happy. there's a lot that's wonderful about design, but I think just that whole problem solving thing is so gratifying.
Did I ask the worst part? So the other, I don't know if I finished that question.
And then
the best part and
the
worst part.
Yes, the worst part. The worst part is like all the admin and paperwork of everything.
Yeah, especially having your own business, right? Like all the all the stuff.
My taxes.
Taxes.
Yes, I don't.
Taxes are the worst
part. I really dislike spreadsheets. I use them because I must, but like if I could just like solve problems all day and then not have to do any sort of admin work.
Exactly. If we could all just have personal assistants,
exactly.
To do the stuff that we don't like. All right, Larissa, thank you so much for being here. I love talking to you, and I look forward to connecting again. Too. I think next week. So
yeah, next Thursday is your workshop, right?
Yeah,
and I did tell my students about the collective
awesome.
In general,
cool.
And about the class. I mean, they're all kind of finishing up their senior.
Yeah, they're all like
right now. I'll I don't think they're that. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do more classes.
Yeah, exactly.
While I'm finishing my BFA and interning and working and all the millions of things they're doing, but you know, the resources that the collective has are so great. And,
oh, so good! It's just if you want to talk to other people doing intimates, like that's the place.
Yeah. So yeah. So I have encouraged them to check you all out. I don't know if anybody has, but you know,
yeah,
maybe after,
yeah.
after May 22nd.
Yeah, exactly. When time becomes available
minute,
again,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we didn't even get to talk much about like all your teaching and stuff. So, maybe a part two one day. All right, Larissa, it was so good. Yeah. All right, take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.